Today's program comes with a caution, red lights flashing. It's a serious program. We've been talking about spiritual gifts, but in the arena of spiritual gifts, at times, they are abused. We're going to talk about spiritual gift abuse and how, at times, your gift can be leveraged in ways that God never intended it. And you need to be aware of when that is, where that is, and how to prevent it.
Welcome to this Monday edition of Living on the Edge with Chip Ingram. I'm Dave Druey, and we're glad you've joined us today. If you're new to Living on the Edge, be sure to check out our website, livingontheedge.org. You'll find information about our teacher, Chip Ingram, resources for you and your family, and previously aired Living on the Edge broadcasts. Today, Chip's message is called Warning, Beware of Spiritual Gift Abuse, and it's the last one in our current series, Your Divine Design. At the end of the program, Chip will be with us here to review the five most common types of spiritual gift abuse that you may face. So be sure to stay with us for that. Now, let's join Chip for today's message.
I want to go over what I think are the 10 most common abuses of spiritual gifts. These certainly aren't the only ones, but I call these the 10 most common abuses of spiritual gifts. I want you to imagine you driving in your spiritual car, and on the dashboard you have 10 red lights. And as you're walking with God and the Spirit of God is filling your life and you're involved in a local church and you're asking God to use you, that as you are going through your life, if any one of these red lights begins to flash on the dashboard of your spiritual car, you're going to say, wait a second. You know what? I'm not sure, but this could be a sign of spiritual gift abuse. Number one, beware when spiritual gifts are used as a means of manipulation, power, or control in personal and or church relationships. And notice they're all going to start with beware. That's a warning sign. Beware when spiritual gifts are used as a means of manipulation, power, or control in personal and or church relationships. If you have your Bibles, open them, if you will, to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 4, it's a common thing we've talked about. In fact, keep your finger in 1 Corinthians 12. A lot of the abuses were happening in the Corinthian church, and so a lot of the corrections are going to be there. Pick it up at verse 4. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of workings, but the same God who works all of them and all men. Now, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. For the common good. Did you notice the repetition of the word same, same, same? There's unity. When God is working and the Lord Jesus is exalted and the Spirit of God is bestowing gifts and operating in the body of Christ, it's for the common good. It builds people up. The focus is on the Godhead, not on the gifts. The focus is on what God is doing in the group, not on people's particular passions or bents. Personal control, manipulation, and use by gifts are always a sign that abuse is occurring. Anytime someone comes to you or someone you know and says, God revealed to me that you're supposed to do this or do that, a big red light ought to flash on the dashboard. I don't care who they are. Now, it doesn't mean that God never reveals through other people, but you know, I came to the conclusion that on a major life decision about who to marry, where to work, what job to take, what to do with one of your kids, you would just think that God might want to tell you rather than tell someone else, right? I mean, I got a phone. And that doesn't mean that God might not bring someone into your life to say, you know, I'm concerned about this, and here's four or five reasons why, you know, I've watched this relationship. That's a little different story. But this, thus says the Lord, and people end up in real high power, you know, I'm very important, and often this happens in the leadership of churches. Second warning, beware when anyone claims to have the ability to give or bestow any particular gift if you follow their formula. Notice what it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 11. He goes on to say, all these gifts are the same Spirit, and he gives to each one just as he determines. He's speaking of the spiritual gifts. He says, God gives or bestows gifts. Literally, it's as he wills. The Greek word is a very interesting one. It means as he chooses after careful deliberation. Remember we said we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. If God has a plan for your life, and he's going to gift you to fulfill the plan for your life, then the gifts that he gives you are not going to be given through some other person somewhere, sometime, some way. What have we learned? Is that when the ascended Christ, he gave gifts to men, and he chooses to give you the gifts that he wants you to have so you can fulfill the purpose that you're called to. And so when someone comes up and basically says, hey, I have the power to distribute the gifts, he's taking the role of the Holy Spirit, or she's taking the role of the Holy Spirit. Beware whenever anyone claims to have the ability to give or bestow any particular gift if you follow their formula. Often they're using the power of suggestion, manipulation, peer pressure. By the way, when I went in the back room, this is case study number two. Almost everyone, quote, who goes in the back room does experience something. I'm not sure how much of God, but I can tell you what they do, and it's mind control manipulation. They tell you this, 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 and you've got a whole room full of people. And guess what? If you're one of the persons that doesn't do what they say, guess who feels like they're out of step with God? You. And so what it is, it's a huge peer pressure manipulation type thing, and they can get you to do certain things different places. Now, this is kind of the wacko element of the body of Christ. Most churches aren't like this at all. But I cannot tell you, I mean, after 25 years of being a pastor, I can't tell you how many Christians and even pastors and people that are running around that feel like second-class citizens that went in a back room somewhere that heard someone guarantee they could have this gift or that gift, and if you don't get it, guess who has the problem? No one ever says, hey, pastor, I think you had an off day. You're only 94% on giving this gift away. I mean, it's always the person. You don't have enough faith. There must be sin in your life. And this whole manipulative, but you know what? You've got to know the truth. And the truth is people don't bestow gifts. God does. Third warning, beware when any particular gift is made universal evidence of spirituality, salvation, or other spiritual blessing. Skip down to verses 29 and 30. Chapter 12. By the way, as I read this too, in English we can't quite do it, but he's going to ask questions. But grammatically, you can ask a question and you can, you know, you can use just a one little word that automatically tells you that it's a rhetorical question and the answer is no. And that's this case. So it's not, these are not just questions, are all apostles? It's are all apostles? Emphatically, no. Okay, so notice what it says. Verse 29, are all apostles? No. Are all prophets? No. Are all teachers? No. Do all work miracles? No. Do all have gifts of healing? No. Do all speak in tongues? No. Do all interpret? And he's making the point in 1 Corinthians 12, 29 and 30, that no one has all the gifts. Now, this is where this is gentle, but you know, let me say this because I've kind of been through. Both my parents came to Christ through the charismatic movement, all right? My personal experience, I've been in very, very word-centered ministries, but I've had the privilege of traveling all around the world and just teamed up with Pentecostal and charismatic brothers and sisters, and I'm going to tell you about 90%, very balanced, great teaching. But there is some teaching in pockets, especially I guess what I'd call some older school Pentecostalism or charismatic groups that will teach that if you don't speak in tongues, you are not saved or you don't have salvation. Others will teach if you don't speak in tongues, you don't have the Holy Spirit. Somehow you have part of Christ, and the only way you know for sure if you have the Holy Spirit is if you speak in another language. And here's my point. Study the gifts carefully. Tongues are a what? We looked at it. It is a ability to speak in another language for the glory of God, for the common good, in a language you haven't learned. But Paul would say it's an outward evidence, a sign for unbelievers. And all I'm saying is your view on the gift of tongues should have nothing to do with sanctification or your walk in holiness. Okay, it's a spiritual gift. But it is not a spiritual gift that needs to be tied with evidence of salvation or evidence of your spiritual state. God gives the gifts, and God can give the gift of speaking in another language you haven't learned, but the purpose is not for some guy to get in front of a group and manipulate people in the back room. Spiritual abuse number four. Beware when the focus of a church service, ministry, or religious event is on spiritual gifts and their manifestation rather than on the giver of the gifts and his agenda for the church. This is where you hear about the miracle service as advertised. When the focus gets on, come see the show. Here's what you can get. Beware. Miracle service. This is what's going to happen. And at this service, so-and-so is going to happen. And this is where, you know, they're lying in the parking lot. And I've been in places where they charge $10 or $15 for parking. And by the way, this is not someone throwing stones out there at somewhere. I've been to all this stuff, okay? These are the kind of places where, you know, the people were walking in, but, you know, you must be very tired. We'll give you a wheelchair while you wait. And it's amazing. They didn't come in a wheelchair. They got a wheelchair when they get there, and then they get up out of the wheelchair, and wow, look what happened. These are the kind of places where the guy has the little earpiece and they interview and screen the people. And people that have clearly, you know, non-psychosomatic illnesses, you know what, you know, over there, you know, you get over here. People that, you know, boy, lower back pain and, you know, I think I'm eating down deep. I think my gallbladder stones, of course, they don't have an MRI and they don't know. But I'll tell you what, you can get people in a frenzy to believe just about anything. When the focus is on the show, when the focus is on the miracles, when the focus is on the person, when the focus is on what you can get, you know what? Just read the Gospels and ask yourself, is this how Jesus did ministry? In fact, look at Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 and 12. It's very, very clear. Just flip back a couple books, right? He gave gifts. Why did he give spiritual gifts? Did he give spiritual gifts so people could, you know, make a lot of money, put on a show, tell people how awesome, miraculous, and wonderful their deal is? He gave some as apostles. He gave some as prophets. He gave some as evangelists. He gave some as pastors and teachers. Why? For the work of service, to build up the body for the work of service. Spiritually gifted people are to equip us, regular believers and saints, so that we can do the work of service until every single Christian grows up into maturity to all the measure of the fullness of Christ. The goal and the role of gifting men and women is to help other believers mature in Christ. And so anytime the focus is off the giver of the gifts and onto the show, anytime it's about showmanship instead of Christ-likeness, you better have that flashing red light and say, you know something? It may be electric in the air, and people may make all kind of claims, but it doesn't pass the test of New Testament biblical Christianity. Warning number five, beware of comparing your gifts with anyone else. It always leads to carnality. I'm going to read a passage that's a little extended, but it's so important, I think it's worth reading. And have you noticed that we're still in 1 Corinthians 12? Will you go back a couple books? Some of you may be thinking, you know, I think this Corinthian church sort of had some struggles with gifts. Because all the directives about how to do it right are in 1 Corinthians 12, you know, part of 13 and 14. He goes on to say, 1 Corinthians 12, beginning at verse 11, all these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he gives them, the Spirit, gifts to each one. How? Just as he determines. The body is a unit. He's going to make a metaphor. Though it is made up of many parts, and though all its parts are many, they form one body, given the human body. We have a hand, we have a head, we have eyes, we have ears, we have feet. And so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jew or Greek, slave or free, and we were all given one Spirit to drink. Now the body's made up of not one part, but many. And then here's where he goes through the analogy. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I don't belong to the body, would it not for that reason cease to be any part of the body? I mean, less? No. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I don't belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be a part of the body, kind of would it? Well, no. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? And if the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has arranged the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. Don't compare your gift to someone else's. Don't get thinking, and by the way, it's human nature, certain churches and certain backgrounds will gravitate to honor certain gifts more than other gifts. I was in one parachurch organization that I'll tell you what, if you had the gift of exhortation, man, you were a winner. If you had the gift of service, it was kind of like, well, you know, someone does need to pick up the chairs and that would be nice. If you had the gift of teaching or leadership, actually, it was threatening to the group. because they had a real cookie-cutter formula about how they were going to raise up leaders. What they wanted was facilitators to lead these small groups. And anyone that kind of wanted, hey, why are we doing it this way? Hey, rebellious Ingram, would you just shut up and sit over there and lead your group? Well, I had some pretty strong leadership gifts, and I was saying, hey, you know, basically, this seems kind of dumb. If you want to get this job done, we ought to go this way. And it, you know, and I was dealing with the pride issues in my life. Now, I had a lot of pride issues in my life, so it wasn't wasted, you know. But I've been in other churches where it's this visible gift, you know. And if you can ever get up in front of the stage, and so, boy, you know, the little kids, by the time they're 7, 8, 9, 10, or if a kid in junior high or high school has any speaking ability, he's been called of God, and they put up in front of the group, and the poor kids don't know what they're saying. It all goes back to comparing our gifts rather than realizing God's got a perfect plan. And you know something, I don't know that I want to say to my eye or to my ear or to my knee that one's more important. They're all important. They're all interdependent. And I just want to say, I think you'll wrestle with this. There's a passage that's been helpful, 2 Corinthians 10:12. You might jot that in the corner of your notes, where the Apostle Paul will say, when we compare ourselves with ourselves and measure ourselves by ourselves, we are without understanding. And I just want to say, for your encouragement, I think you'll struggle with this your whole life, because I do believe that all of us are desperately insecure, even as believers. I mean, I know we're going to grow, but we're desperately insecure. I've been a Christian now about 30 years. I've been a serious student of the Bible for about 28 years. And you would think if you could get this out of your system, you could kind of get it out of your system by now. But just a few months ago, I was in Chicago, and Moody Bible Institute, one of my sons went there. They have this big conference they've had since the days of D.L. Moody. And you go into this historic church, and it's all wooden, and it's round, and there's thousands of people. And then there's cameras, because they're putting it on the radio all over America. And then they read the internet, where all the students and people around the world are listening. And I got to be one of the speakers. And you're thinking, you know, 30 years old, you know about spiritual gifts, you ought to be secure enough to go there. Realize that you don't have to compare yourself with Jim Cimbala and Howard Hendricks and Tony Evans and Johnny Erickson Tata and all these 15 other speakers they have, and that, you know, you're basically going to go there and do your job, and you understand you're just part of the body, and he brings that and you bring that, and wrong. And, you know, first night Joe Stoll speaks, and man, that was good. And then the next night, Tony Evans, and then Howard Hendricks. And I'm sitting there going, this is ridiculous, Ingram. Why are you so unbelievably intimidated? Why are you having these thoughts in your mind? And I mean, I just had to go off in a corner and say, oh, God, what these people think. Everything in my flesh wants to compare myself. And every time I do, you know, on my really kind of normal days, I feel like a weenie, and there's these great speakers. And then on my not so normal days, and I get full of myself, I'm thinking, well, you know, I think I could hit the ball like that speaker. Maybe, you know, if I could go after him, it would be okay. And, you know, then finally you just get to the point, you go, oh, God, woe is me. After 30 years of walking with you, I've got all these gunky issues in my life. Will you forgive me? And if you don't speak, I don't have anything to bring. And what I understand is you've gifted each of these people, and you have a plan in this week, and you want to help the thousands of people in this room and the tens of thousands listening, and I want to be a part of what you're doing. And, I mean, I had to get before God and literally just cleanse my heart and just beg him to help me see, I'm desperate for you, will you help me? And all I want to say is, I don't think anyone gets to the point where you mature your way through that. I think that will be something we'll live with the rest of our days. But don't compare yourself with other people. Don't compare your gift with other people. God made you unique.
Chip will be back in just a minute. But if you're just joining us, you're listening to Living on the Edge with Chip Ingram. Chip's message today, warning, beware of spiritual gift abuse, is from his series, Your Divine Design, How to Discover, Develop, and Deploy Your Spiritual Gifts. If you've been a listener to Living on the Edge for any length of time, you know that we're committed to helping Christians really live like Christians. And this series, Your Divine Design, will help you take one of the most important steps on your spiritual journey. Knowing your spiritual gift will give you the confidence to put it to use as God intends. If you're ready to experience a greater sense of purpose and satisfaction in your life, then your divine design is for you. Many have found that doing this series with a small group has been really fun and encouraging. For complete ordering and pricing information on all of the Your Divine Design resources, just go to livingontheedge.org. You'll find the small group DVDs and study guides, the CDs, and while this series is on the air, the MP3s are absolutely free. So jump online to livingontheedge.org or give us a call at 1-888-333-6003. Well, Chip, we often talk around here about God prompts and how God wants to use us and the gifts he's given us to bless other people. Well, how does that relate to our being in the middle of our mid-year match? Is there any encouragement you'd like to give folks about that?
I'd love to, Dave. Respond to those God-ordained promptings. You know that little message inside of you that is going to help someone, it might be hard, might require sacrifice, would really love someone and make their life better. Guess what? That's from God. And one of the promptings might be, as you've listened, is that Living on the Edge is in the middle of our mid-year match. I mean, this is a significant portion of our budget for the whole year. If God is encouraging you through Living on the Edge, if you're growing spiritually through Living on the Edge, and down deep you've thought, there's been a little flicker of a prompting, you know, I ought to help them out, today's a good day. Why don't you follow it? We're very grateful.
Thanks, Chip. To send a gift to Living on the Edge, visit us online at livingontheedge.org. Or if you prefer, just give us a call at 1-888-333-6003. And remember, every gift will be matched dollar for dollar, thanks to the generosity of some good friends of the ministry. Well, now with some final thoughts from today's talk, here's our teacher, Chip Ingram.
As we close today's program, I can only imagine that some of you had pictures go through your mind, and you thought back to experiences that you've had and things that were happening in the past, and you never thought, oh, that's spiritual gift abuse. You probably assumed you did something wrong or you were a bad person. So let me just go through in the end of today's program and review the 5 cases of spiritual abuse, the symptoms that we covered today, and then in our next broadcast, I'll cover the last 5. Number 1, beware when spiritual gifts are used as a means of manipulation, power, or control in personal or church relationships. Number 2, warning. Beware whenever anyone claims to have the ability to give or bestow any particular gift if you follow their formula. 3rd warning. Beware when any particular gift is made universal evidence of spirituality, salvation, or other spiritual blessing. Warning number 4. Beware when the focus of a church service, ministry, or religious event is on spiritual gifts and their manifestation, rather on the giver of the gifts and his agenda for his church. Finally, beware of comparing your gifts with anyone else's. It always leads to carnality. In our next broadcast, I'm going to talk about 5 more warnings that you need to be aware of. And if there's no way that you can make the program, go to the internet, log on to livingontheedge.org, and you can get the notes with all 10 of them listed. Our goal is to help you, protect you, and love you.
Do you wish you could hear Living on the Edge when it fits into your schedule? You can. For those of you who want to take Living on the Edge with you to work or to the gym, download the Chip Ingram app. It takes just a few minutes, it's free, and you'll have Living on the Edge with you whenever and wherever you want. You'll find today's broadcast, as well as other previously aired Living on the Edge broadcasts, waiting for you there. Just go to livingontheedge.org today to download the free Chip Ingram app. Tomorrow on Living on the Edge, Chip will wrap up our current series, Your Divine Design. So be sure to make plans to join us then. For Chip and the entire team, thanks for listening to this edition of Living on the Edge.